o'clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MJ.
Oh, MJ, I looked down the run sheet today and there's emotion everywhere. Cool. There's excitement with the return and the confirmation that Ben Stokes will be out here for the Ashes tour this summer. Can't wait to see Stokes out here. I'm pumped for that.
Well, I think the Ashes needed him to make that announcement because the team that they assembled and made public wasn't anything to write home about. But as soon as you add Ben Stokes to that mix, oh yeah, things just got real
juicy.
Really, really interesting.
There's a bit of fear on the run sheet today as well because Paul Gallen's coming on. I think he heard our interview with Josh Alloway last week.
He did. He even said so in his Instagram post. And now I think he wants a right of reply, which we do, always do on this show. We have two sides to every story, and don't miss Gal's reaction.
There's always that little bit of fear in me whenever Gal's on, even when he's on the phone. He is one person I will not take the piss out of, even on the phone. I really like Gal, but I'm not going to take the piss out of him. And there's also for me a lot of excitement because because I see MG's brain game is back today. You have not been going well at these.
No, I know. And it's not good for my future employment, mate, because you'll make me look like a dickhead.
No, but today's State of Origin. You'll be fine. You'll smash this out of the
overall
park.
State of Origin,
just this
history?
Year, 2021.
Oh, come on.
It was 3 months ago.
Yeah, I know, but what happened? Who played where? What?
And if you can answer all those, you'll win MG's brain game.
And don't forget, BMOS joins us as well.
BMOS.
What a show.
What a great show. But off the top.
What's cracking?
Let's check in on the NRL's player movement market, MG. Reports coming left, right and centre. First thing off the top, we should say, we spoke to Clint Newton on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
A statement released today. Luke Thompson, the Bulldogs forward, who was at the centre of that vaccine scandal, or the story as it developed, he has confirmed he will be getting the vaccination and will be fine to obviously return to pre-season with the Dogs.
Well done, Luke, because you are from England and good luck trying to get on the plane without it.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I hadn't thought about that. So we can move on from Luke Thompson. Now, the story I want to get to, MG, Brandon Smith.
We spoke about Reid Marnie yesterday.
We did.
Guess what? Somebody else has taken number one spot for November 1.
James Hooper, part of the Triple M NRL family, but also with Fox Sports, of course, he wrote the piece on foxsports.com.au that Brandon Smith's manager, Monday, November 1, will be sending an email out to all 16 clubs saying, give us your best offer. Give us your best offer.
Okay, let's break that down. Okay, I don't think he's a $1 million player, the Chiefs. I don't think he's put enough runs on the board. Maybe if he won the comp this year against all the odds, especially after the players who have gone, I suppose he would then be considered. But I don't think it yet the hectic Cheese is worth a mil.
Okay, you don't think he's worth a mil? But do you think someone will offer him a meal?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. Not look, maybe. I don't know. But I think he's in the high, 750s, 800,000 a year because he can play both hooker and lock with aplomb. Mm. And he's a perfect, bloke to start at hooker. Then if you've got another hooker on the bench, bring him off, put him at lock, and he can play 80 minutes. But look, he brings a lot to a club. He seems to be a guy that a lot of blokes gravitate towards. He seems to be a bloke who other players, even playing against him, love. You see him get head knocks and he kind of pats a bloke on the back of the shoulder and go, mate, that's okay. I know you didn't mean it. Like, he's a rare player. He's a real character of the game.
Mm.
So you're buying that as well. So, you're buying the cheekiness of him. You're buying the... I might be talking myself out of my argument here. Maybe he's worth a mil. Maybe he is worth a mil because of what he brings to the table.
Well,
the playing table anyway.
Well, the playing table anyway, yeah. We don't want to talk about the other tables. Now, the question is about a $1 million offer because, let's be honest, for any club that signs him, the deal will be worth in excess of a million. It'll be into the millions, but it's a question of that per season value. I guess if a team's going to pay that much for him, it's got to be a club that probably doesn't have, an overly competitive spine as yet. Obviously the Roosters couldn't do it. Parramatta, well, who knows where Parramatta might end up. But you would.
Well, it depends on Reid Marnie, doesn't it, I suppose?
You get the sense that I get the feeling that he could be Queensland bound.
I get the feeling that your feeling is right. I'm with you. I'm with you. Especially especially now that this new entity, the Dolphins, has entered the market. It just kind of changes the whole landscape. The goalposts have shifted dramatically. Every player now who has left Brisbane to go to another club will be having a look over their shoulder at exactly who the Dolphins sign, because everyone wants to return home at some stage. And if a new team, and you'd love to be part of a new team because you're making history. I've got the feeling with Wayne Bennett that they're going to start on fire, because he won't assemble a team that's not competitive. So yeah. Look, it's got so many look, sponsorships off the field. There's so many things to love about the Dolphins when they haven't even played a ball yet. So,
all right, Brandon Smith, absolutely a player to watch. I'd love to get a copy of that email when it drops on Monday from his management saying, give us your best offer, just to see what's in it. Quickly, we need to talk about the West Tigers, because they're at the centre of a couple of possible player movement deals at the moment. The report from Wide World of Sports is that they are prepared to... they want to get Josh Hodgson. Reedy told us that that had gone some ways down the track up until Tom Starling's arrest, which muddied the waters a bit. But now Wide World of Sports reports that the Raiders are prepared to let Hodgson go, but they want Jacob Little coming back the other way.
Which is fair enough. I would do the deal. Yes, I would. I'd do the deal. I think Jacob Little is a fantastic player. I think he was constricted somewhat with the Tigers this year. And I think, I'm one who says that Luke Brooks, I said it in the middle of last season, I said Luke Brooks should vacate the premises as well. And I think the Tigers need to do that. I think the Tigers themselves need to start changing their way and start showing potential suitors that they're willing to make changes. And the biggest change would be letting Luke Brooks go, let him fly away, and wish him all the world, because he's been good to your club. Unfortunately, much maligned at your club, so I think a change of scenery would be the best thing for him. And I think Hodgson arriving would add that professionalism. He's a tough, you know, uncompromising player. Again, like Brandon Smith, could play both. You know, he could play nine, he could play 13, he could play six at a pinch. So I think you're getting a great player. I think all round it's a win-win for everyone involved.
And the whispers still won't go away about Luke Brooks as the potential replacement should Mitchell Pearce end up in Super League with the Catalan Dragons. But Adam O'Brien's come out and said, the coach of the Knights, and said, I haven't heard a thing about it. My query is O'Brien the person Pearce would be speaking to anyway? Like, O'Brien's not in charge of contracts.
No, I think Mitchell Pearce's management would have been in contact with somebody there. But the fact that the coach is in the dark worries me. That worries me a lot, because you got to have your coach included in all contract, you know, negotiations or disputes. You got to let him know. The fact that he might be flying blind into these questions doesn't sit well with me.
MG, the NRL player transfer market, it's in overdrive ahead of November 1. But there's another big story bubbling around football, and it involves a current player and a former player. And we spoke to one half of the potential fight last week.
Yes.
With Josh Alloway,
as we know, there's always two sides to a story.
And we are today set to get the other side of the story from the man at the centre of all this. It is the Cronulla Premiership captain, Paul Gallen. G'day, Gal.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Never a dull moment.
There's no size to this. We both want to fight. He wants to fight 2-minute rounds. He's a coward. I mean, you know what? If it was a footy player who just wants to step in the ring and wants to challenge himself and was to have said to you boys last week, I just want to have a go, I'd probably do six 2-minute rounds. But he's a guy who's told you and everyone who listened last week that I've been boxing since I could walk. Anyone who knows anything about boxing knows I will win. And anyone that knows anything about boxing knows I've got more experience than Paul Gallen in training and sparring. So, mate, he's talking up a huge game, but he wants to fight 2-minute rounds. I think he's a coward.
And what's been the rationale behind that, Gal? Is it, if you want to fight someone, you fight them for 6-8 minute rounds if you really want to fight.
Well, that's right. I've got no idea what the rationale is. So, as I said on Instagram, I think last week, I was first asked about this fight. I'll never forget the week. It was the first week of the semi-finals, because I actually had no idea he was playing. I knew he went to Manly, but I didn't know he was playing this year. I knew he got dropped, and I didn't even think he was back playing. So I watched the game that week, and they played the Melbourne Storm, and he was – I don't think he played that night either. And so that was sort of when I started paying attention to him. But then I think it was late the week before, they came back and he said he's only going to fight 4 2-minute rounds. And I was like, well, no, I'm not doing it. And now it's been moved to 6 2-minute rounds, and he's quite comfortable to say he only wants to fight 2-minute rounds, although – after what he said to you guys last week and everyone else that will listen, that he's a great boxer. I've been getting messages of people saying he's a he's a golden gloves from back in New Zealand, and he's had three or four amateur fights in Australia, won them all, and he knocked the last bloke out inside the two rounds. Like, there's just so much hype around him, but fight properly.
Let's just remind everybody that the last time this man stepped into the ring, it was for the Australian Heavyweight Championship belt against Justice Hooney, and it went to 10 rounds. Gow, for people that aren't, you know, boxing aficionados, explain that difference in that extra 60 seconds, what that does to you in a round, in a boxing fight.
Well, it's a huge difference. I mean, that's what your training's for. It's to train to get the 3 minutes. I mean, this is the thing. I don't know where women fight 2 minutes. That's the only people I know that fight 2 minute rounds. Now, I did fight 2 minute rounds against Barry Hall years ago, and I did say after that I won't do it again. And I don't want to do it in this fight. It's not the right thing to do by the sport. It's just not boxing. I mean, this fight is still 6.5 weeks away. Apparently, he said he got sick. I don't know when he was sick. Last week, he was okay. The week before, he was okay. He's posting stuff on social media. So even if he was sick the week before that, we're still talking eight or nine weeks out from a fight. Start training. Get fit. Like, I don't understand what his problem is. He's only wanting to go 2 minute rounds. I don't know why. Look back at his football. And as I said, when I watched that Melbourne Storm game, I think he was off after about 15 minutes. So maybe just had no gas tank on him at all. But without doubt, the 2 minute rounds are going to suit him without a doubt. If he's as good a boxer as they say he is, and he says he is, he's 25 years old, 15 years younger than me, 110 kilos, he's going to be powerful. So obviously, power runs out pretty quick, and that's why he only wants the 2 minute rounds.
Yeah, obviously, you've come a long way in your boxing career. 13 fights, 11 wins, one loss, one draw. But you, it seems to us, look, as an outsider looking in, that you're past them gimmick fights. That you pass the 2 minute, three times 2 minute rounds, or five 2 minute, 2 minute rounds. After fighting Hooney and Brown and whoever else has come along, Barry Hall, and I know you want to fight Sonny B. Williams as well, it seems to us that you've kind of gone past them gimmick, inverted commas, fights. That you need to, if you're going to fight again, you're a prize fighter. I mean, that's the thing about you, Gow. You've proven it time and time again in the ring that your motor is awesome. And I think that if anyone wants to take you on in a stoush in the ring, well, they've got to come to your terms at least, or at least meet you halfway.
Yeah, well, I'd like to think the same thing, but, as I said, and as you said, I'm a prize fighter. So unfortunate thing with boxers, and I do feel sorry for a lot of boxers, is that the hype is just not around fighting a genuine boxer. Justice Hooney was an Olympian, was going to the Olympics. He's very well known in the boxing circles, and other guys are not well known. So having to fight an NRL player is where the money is. That's just the way it is. And as I said from the start, and as you said, I'm a prize fighter, so I'm going to take the fight that's the best option for me. And all the Rose boys are telling me at the moment that he's the best option for everyone to make money at this point in time. So look, we're at a bit of a stalemate at the moment, but the 100% fact of this is that I'm willing to fight him over 6 3-minute rounds, which is what was agreed upon 8 weeks ago. But now he wants to fight 2 minute rounds. And he came out yesterday trying to make an excuse. I tried to fight Joey Lalua over 3 2-minute rounds. That's an absolute lie. I've never spoken to Joey Lalua. The only reason I know Joey Lalua's fighting is because Chris Heinington might be fighting him. That's the only thing I know. I've got no idea about Joey Lalua, where that come from, or me wanting to fight him. So that's absolute rubbish.
Yeah, moving away from this, because I'm sure this will bubble along and we look forward to following it. But was it a bit of a thrill when Tyson Fury, basically said, "Oh yeah, I know Paul Gallen. I watch his fights. I'm a fan."
Yeah, it was actually. It was a real thrill. Obviously, he's had some Aussies and Kiwis over there. Obviously, Joseph Parker has been involved in his camp, and he's had a couple of other Aussie boys over there at the moment training with him. So he probably would have been told about the fight between me and Justice coming up, and he said he watched it. And it was a thrill without a doubt to be the best fighter in the world. To actually think that he sat there and watched you is a pretty big deal. And yeah, that was a tough night, that one against Justice Hooney. I was very, very sore after that. I can promise you that one.
Okay, if not Josh Alloway, who then? Who's on the radar?
Oh, mate, I don't know. I don't know. Look, mate, to be honest with you, I'm 40. Father time's coming. And as you know, MG, father time and age is undefeated. So there's going to come a time where we're going to be pulling up pretty soon. And it's not too far away, I can say that. Obviously, Sonny Bill Williams is the name that people everywhere I go has asked me, "You're going to fight him? You're going to fight him?" And you don't have to ask me, mate. Sonny Bill's the one you've got to ask. And he came out not long ago and said, "Yeah, it's the plan in the next 2 years to fight him." Well, I won't be fighting in 2 years' time. I can promise that. I'm right at the end of it now. So I'm not too sure what's going to happen in the near future.
Gow, before we let you go, we appreciate you weighing in on this, but I just need to know, now that Craig Fitzgibbon has taken charge of the Sharks, have you been made to give your key back? Have you still got the key to sneak in the Shark Park? Have you been made to give it back?
I don't know what he's talking about.
They call you. You're a new nick. Actually, here we go. Here we're on the subject.
Oh, no.
When you walk in the ring next, Paul the Locksmith Gallon.
I might have to change my song after the last fight didn't go too well, so I might have to change my song. We might maybe change a few things, so maybe the G Dragon Gallon and the Locksmith can come in.
Gal, we love having you on. We can't wait to see how this pans out. Thanks as always for your time.
Thanks, boys. See you later.
Going to play MG's brain game very shortly. The theme today is the 2021 State of Origin series. MG has not been going well for his brain game so far. So
I get this. I get the feeling you're reveling in that.
I am. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I know you are. I'm
enjoying it.
For more luck.
I'm enjoying it. All right. Hey, let's talk some cricket.
Yeah.
Huge news in the world of cricket overnight.
Massive.
As big a possible announcement as there could have been ahead of this summer's Ashes series. For England, for Australia, for the Ashes themselves, Ben Stokes will be touring with the Poms.
Here we go then. The scores are level. Yes! One of, if not the greatest Test match innings ever played. Ben Stokes is the hero of the land.
Oh, he's coming, MG.
Of course, that was in 2019 at Headingley when he broke Australian hearts with a massive knock. But look, Ben Stokes is exactly what we needed for this Ashes series. You know, as we mentioned at the start of the show, that this was, you know, potentially going to be a bit of a fizzer, the Ashes series. Everyone who was anyone in cricket questioned the English side when they announced it. Now that he's come and said, look, he's over his finger injury, he had to prioritise his mental health and well-being, which he did. He's just put a massive target on his back, which I love. Which I love, because if you get the feeling this kind of guy is a bit like Freddie Flintoff-esque. And the Ashes Liam have just gotten real interesting.
Real spicy. Real spicy. And the other element to Stokes is the timing of it, because the T20 World Cup has already started. He's not a part of the squad, so he's going to be fresh. And conversely, Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins, Smith, Warner, the big bulk of Australia's test squad will be playing this T20 World Cup. Now, depending on how deep they run, you know, there's some fatigue, there's some wear and tear, and then they've got to go through a five Ashes test series against the Poms, where arguably their best player, second best player alongside Joe Root, is fit, firing and fresh. Oh, I'm equal parts excited and nervous now, if I'm honest.
Yeah, look, you can imagine if the English added Jofra Archer. They would have been full strength almost then. But, yeah, look, it's the Ashes are something special. To the fact that it could be played in front of crowds, something that was kind of a hiccup 3 months ago. You would have said, oh, this is going to be a pretty boring Ashes series. No crowds will be allowed in. But the way that New South Wales has responded to getting vaccinated and the way Australia has been responded. There's something on the horizon.
This I can feel the momentum building really nicely into all this. You've got Ben Stokes coming. We now know that Alan Border is going to have a statue unveiled before the first test the Gabba.
And of course, the biggest
part of all of this is that Triple M is going to be calling the cricket again this summer. We are calling the Ashes. Producer Charlie's going to have his hand on the tiller for some of the games, MJ.
Well, how good? I mean, there's a few years ago we were involved in the Ashes, and I must confess that, you know, sitting by the pool on a summer's day when you couldn't sit in front of the TV all day listening to the Triple M, the dulcet tones of all the commentators, it was very soothing, soothing.
There's a pool at the Gabba. Maybe should get up there and sit in the pool. Producer Charlie's going to be running the show, so maybe you and I go up as a bit of a end-of-year holiday, sit in the pool. What do you think?
Done.
And boo Stokesy from the... Actually, the last thing I would want to do... You see those blokes in the pool drinking beer.
Yeah.
You never see them get out to go to the toilet, do you?
No. There's a lot of yellow stuff in that.
You never see them get out to go to the toilet. That's my concern. Right.
Very, very heavily chlorinated in pools. Yeah.
Right. Is that the deal with the pool at the compound as well?
Oh, no. No. Mine's a saltwater pool, mate. You don't piss in my pool.
Aren't the guys doing well? Righto, hey, great news. Ben Stokes, he's coming. It adds a heap to this Ashes series. We cannot wait. Going to be outstanding. Mind you, my commiserations to Scotland, who got their pants pulled down at the T20 World Cup overnight by Afghanistan. Lost by 130 runs, MG. Can't play spin, the Scots.
No.
That's what we learned.
Unlucky.
Unlucky. just not good enough.
Get William Wallace next time. He might do better.
MG, as we close in on the end of the year, we are looking back at 2021, the year in sport, by playing a little game.
We've just got to run some tests, Dr. Gaia.
You think you're so clever?
It's time for MG's Brain Game.
That feels like a... feels like a dating show opener.
Yeah, it does. Traffic match with MG. And
MG, let's meet the three lovely ladies you've got to choose from today. No, instead, we are asking you questions about the sporting year. And there's been themes. We did the pre-season quiz. It didn't go very well. No. Last week, it was the Olympic quiz, which also didn't go particularly well. But today...
Oh, you said I went good last week.
Well, you passed, I think. But so today is your day. Today is your day, because today we are talking about the 2021 State of Origin series.
Oh, I'm worried.
How can you not feel confident about
talking? Oh, of course. It was all over the shop. They played, where'd they play? Three games in Queensland, one in New Zealand, one in Perth.
See, already it feels like you might know some of the answers. All right, let's kick it off. Here we go. Okay. MG, yeah. Who won the women's State of Origin? What was the score?
Queensland.
I'll give it to you. Queensland did win 8-6. 10-8? 8-6, yeah, good. Yeah, no, that's a point. You're off to a flyer. There were 9 debutants across the men's series. Name 5.
This is hard. Brian Toto.
1.
Jerome Luai.
2.
Liam Martin.
3. There's one more from your Panthers.
Isaiah Yeo.
He was there last year.
Jerome Luai. I said him.
You said him.
Oh, Appy Coruscant.
There you go.
Yeah,
one more. New South Wales had one more debutant.
No.
I'm going to have to gong out. You got the Penrith boys. You could have had Mitchell Moses was the other debutant for New South Wales. And then three. Queensland had 4. They had Kyle Felt, Francis Molo, Tabu Aifido, and Thomas Flegler. 9 debutants across the series, which has got to be some sort of record. That was a ton.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
All right, MG, State of Origin hit the road because of COVID this year. One game at a time. I want you to tell me where it was meant to be played and where it ended up being played. So game 1, where was it meant to be played?
Sydney.
It was not. It was meant to be played in Melbourne. But where did it end up being played?
Townsville.
True. Game 2.
Suncorp.
On both counts. Meant to be played in Brisbane, was played in Brisbane. Game 3?
Game 3 was supposed to play at Newcastle.
I'll give you that. It was meant to be played in Sydney,
it
then to Newcastle.
Seabus.
There you go. There you go.
There we go.
We'll give you 2 of those. Audio clue, MG. Listen to this.
What a pass!
Well,
the most magical ball that has hit Brian Toto.
Who threw that pass?
That would have been Tedesco.
That was Tarek Sims.
Oh, Tarek Sims.
The magic pass.
That's right. Tarek.
All right. Who was the player of the 2021 series?
Turbo.
Correct. Who scored the match-winning try in Game 3 for Queensland?
We just mentioned him, Hammer.
Let's check the tape.
Long ball monster. Out it goes to Capel. Numbers again. Keeps it going to Hart. He's over. Ben Hunt. Makes it 18 points to 12.
He did too. Yeah, under the post.
I'm starting to feel bad about these quizzes, producer Charlie. I'm starting to feel bad.
Oh, mate, this seemed like it was 10 years ago. So much.
All right, 2 more questions. Let's see if you can finish with some momentum.
Okay.
What off-field interruption indiscretion did Queensland have to deal with midway through the series?
Joe Arrow.
Good on you. Right.
I know all about indiscretions. I'll get 10 out of 10 if you give me 10 indiscretions.
All right, next week can be that might be next week's quiz. Scandals of sport
scandals
in 2021.
I would get them. I would get them all.
We're doing it. Right, last question.
I'd do my thesis on it if I was at school.
New South Wales won the series. Who is currently leading the overall tally between the two states?
Queensland 22, New South Wales 16. Yeah, baby.
Good. If you're only as good as your last performance, question gives you some momentum into next week.
Yeah, fair dinkum. Honestly, I'm really, really bad with kind of recency. I forget who played even in the semi-final series. but I don't know why. I just don't think I give a damn, to be honest.
There it is, MG's brain game. Now, next week, I mean, we have options. But if you want to do the scandal quiz, we can play the scandal quiz.
Oh, be careful what I wish for, eh? I don't know.
We'll see.
Scandal quiz. I might be involved in one of them.
Right.
No, I'm not 2021, no.
It's the Rush Out with MG and Liam on Triple M. And MG, if people send us free beer, we are happy to bring them on the show to talk about it. This man and his brother have started a beer. I mean, he had a tragic end to his career earlier on in the year. Brett Morris did that knee on the sideline. Who can forget he and his brother Josh in the rooms afterwards? But does the knee, retires from football, then he starts a beer, then he gets a job as an assistant coach at the Roosters, wasn't unemployed for long. B-Moz, welcome to the show.
G'day, how are you?
Oh, you are a busy man, brother. Along with the rehabilitation with the knee, which we'll ask about in a second, you've been a busy man since that injury, mate.
I have, mate. I have. You know, life continues on after football and after injuries. And yeah, it's actually been quite good because I've been quite busy. You know, after the initial injury, I almost went straight into a little sort of coaching role at the Roosters. I was doing some video sessions and running some meetings. So Robbo made sure I kept busy with that. And in the background of that, we had the beer up and running, about to launch. So yeah, it was quite a busy time, even though I was sitting on the sidelines. I was still quite busy and, yeah, flat out at the moment, which is good.
One of the most emotional pictures of 2021 was when your brother put his arm around you in the dressing rooms, and I think that's etched in everybody's mind, just how much football means to people, but also how much brothers mean to each other. And we spoke to your brother a couple of weeks ago about that, and he said it's the most upset I've ever been in sport. How did you feel at the moment when you knew that was probably the end of your rugby league career?
Yeah, look, it was heartbreaking. I'm not going to lie. You know, I knew there and then that was probably going to be the last time that I was going to run out with an NRL jersey on playing the sport I love. You know, I played since I was 4 years old. You know, you always want to end things on your own terms. But, yeah, to have it sort of all just end like that was, yeah, it was quite heartbreaking. But, you know, obviously had great support from all my teammates. And, you know, I suppose having Josh there was made it a little bit easier. But, you know, I woke up the next morning with a smile on my face and, you know, everything happens for a reason. It's just an injury. You get over it. And yeah.
The only person happy about that injury, MG, was Steve Menzies. Because
he started on fire, didn't he?
He stays on the podium of the all-time try scorers with 180. B-Moz was about to sail past him, but instead Beaver gets to keep his spot on the podium of the all-time NRL try scorers. Hey, B-Moz, talk to us about the new role with the Roosters. I mean, it sounds like you're essentially, Robbo moved you into a coaching setup straight away, but it's official now. You will be one of the assistant coaches for the Roosters for this preseason and onwards.
Yeah, look, it's obviously very exciting. You know, obviously in a very lucky position to be able to go straight from playing rugby league into a coaching role, especially at such a great club. As I mentioned before there, I was doing a little bit of coaching after I had the injury. I sort of spoke to Robbo when I first got the Roosters that, you know, I'd be very interested in coaching when I finished. And now he's sort of just along the way of, you know, my career there just sort of helped me out. And I was already doing a lot of mentoring with the younger players, and it's something that I've always enjoyed throughout my career. And you know, obviously the coaching's the next part of that. You know, you can't be out there on the field doing it yourself, but you know, you're in there, you're helping them with their video, you're helping them try and become better players. And yeah, that's one side of the football that I've always enjoyed. And yeah, now I get to do it as a coach. So yeah, for me it's very exciting, and it's a great place and a great opportunity for me to start my coaching career.
Yeah, too right it is. A lot of players, B-Moz, have an epiphany. They say, you know, you ask them the question towards the end of their career and you say, what are you going to do after you finish playing footy? Most of them say, I'm going to, you know, go into coaching. A lot of them say, I want to go into the media. A lot of them say, I'm going to run my own business. When did it hit you? When was the moment that you thought to yourself, you know what, I'd really, really like to be a first-grade coach once this is all done?
Yeah, I suppose probably in my early 30s, to be honest. I'm 35 now, but I sort of had these feelings and ideas, you know, probably 5 years ago that this was a road that I wanted to go down. And, you know, it was just a matter of talking to the right people. You know, I've been coached by some wonderful coaches along the way as well, in Wayne and Des and now Robbo. So, you know, I feel like I've had a really good learning and an education around rugby league from, you know, different perspectives. And, you know, obviously as a coach, you have to bring your own sort of flavour, you know, to it. But, as I said, I think I'm in a really good spot where I am starting under Trent. And, for me, it's very exciting. And, I'm just grateful that I've got the opportunity and for 3 years to be able to, start my coaching career here.
And then when Fitzy officially got the Sharks coaching role, MG, BMOZ thought, you beauty, I'm in here, I'm sorted, there's a spot for me. Hey, well, I mean, we look at the name that jumps to mind with your experience and what you did in your career, now moving into the coaching role, is Joseph Suaalii. I mean, we didn't get to see as much of the kid as we all hoped with all the hype that was generated about the kid at the start of the year. How's he travelling now? We know he had his injury. How's he travelling and how excited are you to get to really hands-on help mould this young gun?
Yeah, very excited. Joey's obviously, had the injury at the back end of the year there, and he's well into his rehab program. And I'll tell you one thing, I've never seen a kid more professional at that age go about their rehab. He's a really good kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He works really hard and, hopefully he can stay injury free because, he's a great young kid and, we obviously seen that he's got plenty of ability and, I'm really looking forward to working with him for sure.
Well, now the fun stuff. We know that once you are the coach of the assistant coach of the Roosters and after a big win, you'll get a couple of cases of a thing called the Cattleman's Lager into the dressing room.
And, I didn't think about that.
And then you know what? It's a fan. We got a case, two cases dropped off us here in the studio last week, and I tell you, it is a fantastic
one
drop.
One of them's gone already. One of them's gone.
Yeah, I had six on air there last week, but that's because it's mid strength. I could.
Yes.
Yeah.
tell us all about it, buddy. Tell us more. So I know Josh has got his teeth right into it, and you're also into it. It was good to see a picture of on social media of both of you at your local, the first pub you ever drank at, that's got it there on tap now. How good's that?
Yeah, look, we went down there yesterday and delivered. It's not on tap yet. It's in the keg.
It will be.
So they're selling it by the can. But yeah, eventually down the road, it'll be on the keg and on the tap there. But mate, it's been a pretty cool process. It's seven mates all got together and had the idea and finally got the beer out and launched about a month ago. Mid strength lager. It's a beer that we're quite happy with. The recipe took us, 18 months to 2 years to come up with, and there was plenty of testing along the way. So there was some fun had doing that. But we finally got to a point where we're really happy with the product. And it's a great beer. It's easy to drink. It's it looks like a beer, tastes like a beer, and it's very easy to sit on all day and wake up the next day and feel good. So we're all dads with kids and we don't deal with hangovers too well these days, so the mid-strength beer was right up our alley.
I love that. Looks like a beer, tastes like a beer. 18 months to develop the recipe, MG, and you polished it off in 6 hours.
18 minutes. 18 minutes, yeah.
Now, Brett, so terrific. I can see the beer. I can see the New South Wales Blues being brought to you by Cattlemen's at some point in the near future.
That's the dream.
I can picture that. So where's the Roosters preseason at? Where have the boys started and reported for session one, or what's the planning?
No, so the coaches are in 1st of November to start planning, and then the guys, the first batch of guys will be back about mid-November. So, there's a bit of planning that goes on involved before the guys get in there. So when they come, we'll have a plan ready to go for them. And pre-seasons are, renowned for being tough, so they're going to get it.
and have you blocked Wayne Bennett's phone number from all of their phones, all the players' phones as well, making sure he's not putting any calls in to make them Dolphins?
No, we haven't yet. I think they'd probably think it was a joke if Wayne called him up. I don't even know if he knows how to work a mobile phone. There's nothing being spoken about that as of yet.
Mate, always great to talk to you and your brother. You sound like you're in high spirits. Fantastic. Yeah. We love you and your brother. You know that. You're welcome on the rush hour anytime to promote anything you want. And today you're promoting yourself as an assistant coach. We cannot wait to see your voyage like we did with you and your brother as footballers. We loved watching you as footballers. The game's going to be poorer for not having you on the field, but you're still connected some way, and which we love about that.
Don't go into coach mode on us, BMOS, right? When we call you next year because we need to get the inside word, don't, yes, no, one syllable answers on us, all right?
One game at a time, boys. Yeah. One game at a time. One beer at a time, one game at a time.
Yeah. Awesome.
No, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Always good to have Brett Morris on the show. I'm going to go home and settle into a Cattleman's Lager tonight. I've got some cold ones in the fridge, actually.
In the beauty. In the bloody beauty.
They both are, that entire family. Right, we're going to get out of here tomorrow, though. Speaking of beauties, Aaron Woods.
Oh, speaking of the beast.
Speaking of the beast, the woodsman.
Beauty and the beast, yeah.
Yeah, Woodsy will join us. He's now awesome. A dragon.
Yeah, can't wait to speak to him. And they've recruited well. Mm. There's some big names going their way. Molo, Sua, Burgess, Suli, Mogo, Gajewski. Yeah, if you're a Dragons fan, start to get a little bit more happier than you were this year.
And make sure you don't miss tomorrow's show. Right, OMG, say your goodbyes.
Okay, to all you beautiful listeners, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.